around about these Christians coming up north. Not good rumors. And the rumor was that these eye doctors are going to get these magic eye drops, squirt you in the eye with them, make you blind. And then the other guys are going to give you glasses, and Jesus is going to make you see through them.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Good morning. If you remember, back in January, we collected money and we sent Terry on a trip. And that's where he's at today. In February, I went to Thailand. Little did I know at the time that those two events would intersect here this morning. With that being said, you guys have the fortune, or depending on how this goes, the misfortune of my first ever sermon. So, never say never when it comes to God. There's always a way with God. There was never really a time in my life where I thought, I want to be a missionary. I never wanted to go to another country and do God's work. Now, after having been on two trips, I can't say that anymore. I got a call from Dr. Kale with Cross-Eyed Missions late last year. Bill, we'd like you to come to Thailand with us. Take a few days, think about it, pray about it. Let us know what you want to do. So I did. Took a few days, thought about it, prayed about it. I took a few days, asked my wife what she thought about it. I took a few days, asked each of my kids, what do you think about this? I even took a few days and asked my two son-in-laws, what do you think I should do? I was about to take a trip that was going to last 9 days. I took a few days to think about it. I took a few days to pray about it. Now, Dr. Kale told me, I don't know where we're going to stay. I don't know what we're going to eat. I don't even know how many people we're going to see while we're there. Take a few days, think about it. Let me know what you want to do. And so I did. I took my few days and I thought about it. I prayed about it. Told him I'm in. In the scripture that Scott read for us this morning, when Jesus saw the disciples, he told them, drop your net, come with me. He didn't tell them to think about it, pray about it, get back to me in a few days. Hey, put the net down, let's go. Coming with me. They went with him. They were about to leave on a journey that were going to last them the rest of their lives. They didn't know where they were going to stay. They didn't know what they were going to eat. They didn't have time to think about it or pray about it. They immediately dropped their nets and went with Jesus. Now, I don't want to compare what Dr. Kale's doing with Jesus. But Dr. Kale is sort of a modern day fisher of men. We're just using different bait. So, a little quick overview for anybody that might not know what Cross-Eyed Missions is about. This is going to be a little bit of a mission update, kind of a message combined. So here's what happens at Cross-Eyed Missions. Each year we collect thousands of pairs of used glasses. We clean them. Well, maybe not we, but they're cleaned, they're inspected, they're analyzed, the prescriptions are read on them, they're put in a Ziploc bag, and the prescription's written on them, and they're sorted. Okay? So when we get ready to go on a trip then, the team that's going gets together, and we start packing. Now, we take about 6,000 pairs of glasses with us. And what we do is we'll put about 125 pairs of glasses in each tray, five trays per container. Each tray is labeled, and light prescriptions are put together. We classify everything by the right eye so that we have a good starting point. And every quarter prescription in your right eye is how we group them. And so we pack all these glasses, like 6,000 pairs to take with us. And we have some odd prescriptions from different times. Because you get out there and you just never know when you're going to need a pair of really, really strange glasses. And anytime you do use them, then you typically have a pretty good story coming home about the guy that needed a pair of minus 18 glasses because he couldn't see this far. And when you put them on that guy, then, you know, that guy's happy, and of course, so are we. And just trying to find what you're looking for sometimes isn't quite as easy as you might think. I had a guy one time, I'm going to say he was about 25 years old, very nearsighted. And so I'm guessing that this poor kid hasn't really ever been able to see his entire life. So I find him a pair of glasses that matches his prescription almost perfect. And so I get the glasses out and I look at them. Well, I think these glasses were donated by a teenage girl. So I take them over and I give them to him, and he puts them on, and he's just so excited because for probably the first time in his life, he's been able to see past his hand. And he's smiling, and I told him, I don't know if I can do this. Those glasses just don't look good on you at all. Let me go see if I can find another pair. So I come back with a pair of glasses, you know, the kind that when you go outside, they turn into sunglasses, and you go inside, and it's like, these are good. Problem is, the prescription was a little too weak, just a little bit. And he tried them on, he's looking, and he goes, no, I want those. So he took the glasses, he didn't care what they look like. And to me, that's a story that, even though it was a couple years ago, it'll last with me forever, because it meant so much to him to be able to see that he didn't care what he looked like. So we try to match frames and lenses with the patients when we can. And then the other thing we do is we'll take several cases of reading glasses. A lot of people don't need glasses other than to just read their Bibles. One lady in Honduras said, I've been so embarrassed to go to church because I can't read my Bible. And I'm just too embarrassed to sit there and I can't read. Now I can read it again. I'm going back to church. So that was another story. So, Thailand. Man. After we got to Thailand, we had about a 2-hour ride from the airport to the hotel where we're staying at. And a young lady named Gift organized the entire trip for us. How we were going to get from place to place, where we were staying, what we were eating, who was preparing food for us. The only thing she didn't know for sure was how many people we were going to see. But that worked out too. And one of the first things I noticed when we got to Thailand was the Thai Christians were very receptive to having us there. And even though we spoke different languages, we had a common bond and we shared the same gospel. And so that gave us a starting point with our new Thai friends. So the men wouldn't let us do anything. We couldn't carry our equipment. We couldn't carry the glasses. We couldn't carry our luggage. And the ladies constantly cooked for us. Or when we were working, they would bring us drinks or snacks. And it was always, do you need anything else? Or, you know, what can I get you? What can we do? And it's like, from not knowing what we were going to eat or where we were staying, some of those plans worked out pretty well for us. So one thing I noticed that Thailand was very, very different from Honduras. For one thing, Thailand has a lot more money than Honduras. There were people walking around on cell phones, driving nice cars, riding scooters. The population is outrageous, and they were all on their phones, all driving cars, scooters everywhere. It was just nuts. So I'm thinking, I wonder why God sent us to Thailand. I understand going to Honduras. I do. But Thailand, they got doctors. They got eye doctors. They got all kind of, they got everything there. Well, Thailand is made up of 96% Buddhists. There's 4% Muslims. 0.01% of the population of Thailand is Christian. Well, I never really considered that a place like Thailand, not being of third world variety, would need mission work. When you think of mission work, you think of only the poor need missions. Well, that's not the case. So off to Thailand we go. And one thing we noticed was that when you drive town to town, they all have these big shrines in the center of town for you to worship Buddha. Okay? Each family, each business also has personal shrines. Now, they park these shrines right out by the road for everybody to see. And depending on how much money you have, how rich you are, dictates the size of the shrine you put up at your property. So we get to our hotel. There's actually a shrine in the lobby. It's like, is this where we're staying? Yeah. So anyway, on the first Sunday morning then, we arrived at Prachinberry Church. We got there just after the service had ended. We were introduced to the people who were going to be volunteering with us for the entire week. We went next door to one of the church members' homes. We were fed lunch. While we were in eating, we looked across the street, and there were over 100 people sitting out there waiting to have their eyes checked. So we ate pretty quick and headed back into the church to start seeing patients. So we're there maybe an hour. Power goes out. No lights, no air conditioning, no electric to run the equipment, which was probably more important than the air conditioning. But it was about 90 degrees outside, so it didn't take long. It's getting kind of warm in the church. So I'm working. I'm bent over a tray of glasses looking for a certain pair, and I feel this breeze on my back. And I turn around and look, and there's two people standing behind me with fans trying to keep me cool. Well, it was a little embarrassing at first, but it's like, you know, that does feel pretty good. And since it was a Sunday, I really didn't expect us to get power back that day. It looked like the whole street was out. But took about another hour, and the power came back on, so everybody was happy. You know, they flipped air back on, and we had power to run the rest of the day. So one of my first patients that day was a guy that came in, and it was a really strange prescription. His right eye was very farsighted. His left eye, very nearsighted. Not that it's that uncommon to have somebody with near and farsighted on the same person, but the fact that it was so far apart, that the prescriptions were so far apart that it was really difficult to find. I had to go through a lot of glasses to find a pair that would work for him. So I finally find a pair. I give them to him, put them on. They're, you know, they're a good fit, good match. Everything's good. This guy's happy, smiling. He's real happy. I'm not. I'm thinking, you know, I've been in Thailand working for 2 hours. I'm done. That's it. I'm done. So I go outside, grab a plastic patio chair, set it down in the street, and sit down right in the middle of the street. I'm taking a break. So I'm sitting there maybe 2 minutes. Yeah, there I am. I'm sitting out there in that 90-degree heat. Here comes one of the translators with a nice cold ball of water. Bill, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Gives me the water. I barely get it open. Here comes another translator out with a nice cold can of Coca-Cola. Bill, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. So I drink my pop and I drink my water and I go back in to get my next patient. I get there and Dr. Kale says, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm all right. I said, I just had a really rough time trying to find this prescription. It just was frustrating. He goes, you might want to skip this one then. Looks like it's going to be rough too. So, okay. I'm going to go outside and check and see if my shoes are still there, because one of the Thai customs is you take your shoes off before you go into a building. So we're in there working barefoot on a cold tile floor, and you got all this noise for the interpreters. Have all these patients sitting inside in pews with their eyes dilated and their heads up and eyes watering. And the entire time, they're in a building that's about the size of our classrooms with a microphone telling the story of Jesus in a foreign language. And so I don't know if it was the combination of 30 hours to get there, standing on my bare feet, or listening to this, which seemed just like noise, that it's like, I got to get out of here. So went out, checked on my shoes. Of course, they were still there with the hundreds of other pairs that were just laying in a pile. I come back in to get my next patient. And Dr. Kale hands me my prescription that I got to get. And I tell him, you know, this is almost exactly the same prescription as the last guy. So by skipping a guy, I got to do the exact one all over again. So he says, well, Bill, maybe this is test your patience early this trip. So I told him, all right, no, I'm good. I'm good. We're ready to go. So we worked that day from about noon till 8 o'clock or so, well after dark, about 240 patients. All we had time to do was eat supper, shower, and back to bed. So up early again the next day, back to the same church, and after 2 days, the first church in the first town, we seen about 500 patients. So at the end of the second day, we packed all our stuff, luggage, equipment, glasses, water, into a truck. One of the volunteers from the Thai church drove 10 hours north to the next church we were going to. We got up early the next morning, drove back to Bangkok to the airport. We flew. Wasn't crazy about all the flights we had to make after flying 30 hours. Last thing I wanted to do is get on another airplane. But it was better than driving 10 hours. So we head north to a place called Nam Sum Boon. We get there, and our equipment is in the church waiting on us. There were rumors swirling around about these Christians coming up north. Not good rumors. And the rumor was that these eye doctors are going to get these magic eye drops, squirt you in the eye with them, make you blind. And then the other guys are going to give you glasses, and Jesus is going to make you see through them. So between the travel and the rumors and all the negativity that went with that day, we had about 60 people show up. So we're thinking, okay, this is going to be bad because we're here again tomorrow. Well, the next day we get up early, we get there, and there's over 100 people sitting under the tents waiting on the eye doctors to show up. So to everyone's surprise, there were two Buddhist monks that came to get their free eye exam. Well, all the people think, well, they should go first because they're such, you know, their status is so elevated. Let them go first. Hey, that's fine with us. So we dilate their eyes, just like everybody else, and we invite them, hey, come on into the Christian church for your eye exam. So they came in, got their eyes checked, and everything was great. Well, with the crowd that was gathering, soldiers show up. Because anytime you have groups show up, soldiers show up to make sure nothing happens. Well, they're there for a little bit, and they see, hey, everything's going pretty good, and you guys are giving away free eye exams? Count me in. So we examined all the soldiers' eyes, too. So we had a chance to dispel the rumors. And we need to continue to show people the truth about the gospel and not the lies that the enemy is showing. So our last day of treating patients found us driving to Dogsawan. And you guessed it, we got there. There was probably another 100 or so people waiting on us. After the final day, we had a grand total of 1,050 patients came through. And only, as only God can do, He provided the people, He provided the need, and He provided the glasses. Just like fishes and loaves, we never ran out. We went through 1,000 people, over 1,000 people, and never had a prescription that we couldn't fill. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 11 says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As it is written, godly people give generously to the poor. Their deeds will never be forgotten. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will give you many opportunities to do good, and He will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And when we take those gifts to those who need them, you will break out in thanksgiving to God. So, after 5 long days of seeing patients, we had a chance to head south a little bit to a place called Nong Khai. And we were going to get a chance to unwind a little bit. And we got together with some of the volunteers for our last meal and our last goodbyes. And we headed back to the Bangkok airport, where for the first time since arriving in Thailand, we were completely on our own. No interpreters. We kind of wished we had one of the girls there to do our talking for us. But we got on our plane and headed home. And just like I'm sure that the apostles never really knew how many people they brought to Christ, we'll never know how many non-Christian people came into a Christian church for the first time for a free eye exam and a free pair of glasses, will continue to follow Christ on their own. But we'll just have to wait and see. And while I don't consider myself a missionary, I'm sure that there's people around the world who would probably disagree with me. And when it comes time for the next cross-eyed missions trip, my bags will be packed, and I'll be ready to go, and I'll be out there as a modern-day fisher of men. If you have a need now to call Christ your Savior, or you just need a church home, I ask you to just come forward.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.